Pray for you, brother. God bless you.
Bless you. Appreciate the humble prayer, and each of you praying for me means a great, great deal to me. Let's ask that if you have not, just please pause and ask the Lord's blessing on our service and His blessing on the preaching of the gospel, for without the Lord, no man can preach. And we need the Lord in preaching and power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. I'd like to call your attention this morning to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, certainly encourage you to do that. Probably read about 20-some verses here in this fifth chapter, and the Lord will bless us to speak from that. We'll try to follow His leadership the very best we know how. Ephesians chapter 5. As we know, the book of Ephesians is the writings of the Apostle Paul and the church at Ephesus. And so many of the fundamental doctrines of grace are laid out so clearly in the book of Ephesians. The latter part of the book of Ephesians gets into a lot of practical living, practical application of what the principles are that are laid down in God's Word, and how to wear and to put on that which the Lord has given us to do in this world. And not only how we're able to do it, but by what power we're able to do it and what it is we ought to be doing. The Apostle Paul has laid out the very, very wonderful fact that we are God's children by God's choice, by God's design, by God's work, and our eternal salvation is complete and finished in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope today that you all can rest in that. I hope that you have a peace in your heart and a rest in the ability by faith to be able to embrace that what Jesus did at Calvary was done for you. That Jesus paid the sin debt at Calvary. And that He did that for His people, and that you were one that He loved and knew in covenant even before the foundation of the world. And the reason you have that hope in your breast is because the Lord has awakened you and given you life. You have He quickened who were dead, that prior to that birth experience, the new birth, we were dead in trespasses and sins and did not care or love the Lord or care about the things of God and had no mind or thought towards those things. But God in His mercy and in His grace came in our life and came by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just as the writer in the book of John says, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And we're born again, born from above, as the wind blows where it listeth, and you can hear the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone is born of the Spirit of God. The Lord has worked that work of grace in you. And now there's a new life to live. All things are made new. There's a walk. There's a way to think. There's a way to act. There's a way to behave. There's a way to conduct your life. There's a purpose for your life. That though God has always been God and should have been praised all the time, we who were dead in sins would never do that, would never be concerned about that. But God has awakened us to that reality. And if you've been awakened to that reality, that's a great evidence that the Lord loved you even before the very foundation of the world. And God's not fickle. He doesn't love you like men do today and start hating you tomorrow. He doesn't love you and then cast you away forever. He loves you with an everlasting, eternal, unconditional love, a love that we can never be separated from, a love that nothing, and neither height nor depth nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And He loves you not because you are lovable, but in spite of the condition you were in. And He loved you by His own choice. And He loved you as, just as He loved Jacob. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, by His own choice. And you say, well, how could I know that He loved me? Well, do you want Him to? Do you have a desire that he loves you? Does that mean anything to you? See, if you were still, and I was still in my sin, in the depth of sin, not that we still have sin. Sin's going to be with us and plaguing us. But as we were still dead in sin, we would not want the love of God. We wouldn't care about the love of God. It mean nothing to us. We wouldn't feel in need of it. We wouldn't see any purpose in it. We wouldn't say, you know, it would be a waste of our time. It would be foolishness. And certainly being here this morning and praying to God that we can't see or hear or know that's even there would be a waste of time. And there are multiplied numbers of people today who would consider everything you value this morning a total, complete waste of time. But you don't see that, do you? You don't feel like it's a waste. Matter of fact, you know how important it is. You know I need him. You realize in your heart, not because I said it, not because mom and daddy told you, not because your wife convinced you of it, not because your husband did it. Listen, if we just followed what husbands and wives taught us, we'd be in a mess in this old world, wouldn't we? That's a battleground sometimes. I'm telling you, the only thing that keeps peace in our lives and in our homes is the Prince of Peace who has come in our life and awakened us from a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ. And then he tells us, you're mine. You belong to me. You are my child. I made you. You didn't make yourself. And I have designed a way and a path for you to live in your life to bring glory to my name, and it's the best path for you. It's the only path that you're going to find rest and peace and joy. Even the kingdom of God in this world, which is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, the scripture that says the meek, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They don't have to die to get that. That's talking about really enjoying as a little meek child of God every blessing God gives you daily. And today already, with my old hurting leg and other things going on, he's so loaded me with blessings that I could never thank him enough for what he's given me this morning, much less yesterday and the day before and everything else that's to come, much less an eternity that awaits every little child of grace forever. Because of the love of a Savior. And in his love, he teaches us how to love. Okay, let's read something. If I don't say any more, though, I'm all right. I'm not saying I'm all right. I'm saying I feel all right, though. I thank God for everything he's given us in his love towards us. And what that means in our life. He says in Ephesians 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. We'll stop right there for just a minute. He tells us, as children of God, as dear children, and we've already laid out what he's already laid out in the first four chapters, that you're children, and the first three, and then later on, you're a children because of his choice of you and what he's done for you. You're a child that's born of God because of the power of God and the work of God. He's made you a new creature in Christ. You can't live like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, behave like the world, and be happy in this world. You will never be. Now, can you act that way? Yes. Can you behave that way? Yes. Can you get hard-headed that way? Yes. Can you act just as hard-headed as anyone else? Yes. Can the old flesh that's in you still rise up and take dominion in your life? Yes. Is that possible? Yes. And this word is telling us, though, you'll not do it and think that there won't be an answering and an accountability before God because of that action and that behavior, because He loves you too much to not chasten you in rebellion and disobedience against Him. And the only peace and joy that you and I will find in this world is to get over our hard-headedness and begin to listen and be obedient to the God of heaven, who knows better than I know and you know how to live and act and walk and treat one another and behave. And though we think we got it all together, we don't know anything like we ought to know. And the man who thinks he does needs to learn that. And we need to submit ourselves to the teachings of God's Word and put it on. Put it on at church, absolutely. But you put it on when you leave church. You put it on when you go on the job. You put it on when you're riding down the road. You put it on in the doctor's office and outside of the doctor's office. You put it on in your life. You put it on as you're raising your children. You put it on as you're working on your job. You wear it. It becomes that what you're to be. You have your mind renewed, and that means spending time in God's Word, feeding on His Word, learning from His Word, and then putting on His Word, not so much what comes out of your mouth, but what comes out of your actions. And as you do that, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. That's scary, isn't it? We have a grave responsibility given to us by Almighty God. Not just given to anyone. He gave it to His children. He didn't give it to everybody to do. He didn't just offer it out there. He didn't just hand it out and say, "Will somebody speak up? Will somebody volunteer? Will somebody step up and do what I've called you to do?" No. He chose you before the very foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 1 and 2. And then He loved you, and then He called you, made you alive, and then He gave you a wonderful, glorious responsibility to shine forth the light of Jesus Christ in this world until we pass the time of our sojourning in this world and go home to be with the Lord. And we should be obedient. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we put on the whole armor of God? How do we put on the breastplate of righteousness? How do we wear the hope of salvation, which is our helmet? How do we wear our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel? How do we do that? It's taking His Word and putting it into application in our life. And as we do that, we become followers of God. That means imitators of God. We're not going to be exactly like Him, but we should try to be as much as we can like He would have us to be. I remember Brother Forrest one time made mention of the statement, "What would Jesus do?" and how we could live by that. And he said it would be better to say, not so much what Jesus would do. You see, when Jesus came to a sick person, He just made them well. When Jesus came to the blind, He just gave them sight. And Jesus is the one who stood at the tomb of Lazarus and called Lazarus forth. And what Jesus can do, listen, dear ones, what Jesus can do, you and I cannot do. I cannot forgive your sins. I cannot, in the sense of your eternal forgiveness, I can't make heaven your home. I can't do that for my children. I can't do that for any of you. Jesus did those things that I cannot do. More importantly than what would Jesus do is what would Jesus have me to do. And your business ought to be about what Jesus would have you to do, not what Jesus would have me to do. And my business ought to be about what Jesus would have me to do, much more than what Jesus would have you to do. And yet there are some fundamental things that are laid down in God's Word that Jesus has told us through the Word of the Bible, inspired Word of God, that these are the things that you and I as God's little children ought to be about. They're what we're to put on, it's what we're to wear, it's what we're to walk in, and we have an old nature that needs to be kept under subjection, and we have an inner man that we're to put on the outside and wear in our life. We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what He means when He tells us to put on the whole armor of God. It means we wear those principles that are laid down in God's Word. One of those, as He said here, is, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And that's who I'm speaking to this morning. So listen, preacher, you better be careful how you talk to His dear children. Scripture says it'd be better for me that a millstone be tied about my neck and cast over the sea and drown than to offend one of God's little children. It also says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." So if I preach the word and it offends, I'm not offended. The word offended, and if the word offends, so be it. But listen, Brother Gary and every other preacher who ever preaches the gospel ought to be careful how they speak to the Lord's dear children, because you are dear and precious in His sight. Not just one of you, every one of you. Not one of you more or less than the other. Every one of you He loves so much that if it had been, as we've said before, if it had been only you, brother or sister, that He came for, He would have still come. If it had been only you that He loved, He would have still sent His only begotten Son into this world, and the Son voluntarily and willingly would have come and died for you. He didn't die just in general for a bunch of people. He died specifically for His children, and He knew every one of them by name, and He paid their sin debt in full because of love. It was love that sent Jesus into this world. God sent Him because He loved you. And He loved His Son, but He loved you so much here in His love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus came and died because the Father sent Him. But then this verse tells us Jesus came because He loved us. Isn't it good to know the Father loves you? It's also good to know the Son loves you. And it's also good to know the Holy Spirit loves you. Though he chastens, He always chastens with love. You know, there were a few whippings I got in my life. I questioned the love end of it. Although probably it was love that drew every bit of it. But there might have been a time or two a little anger might have stepped in. I know as a parent, there have been times that anger steps in. And that's not love. That's something else. But there's also been times when it's necessary to chasten, lovingly chasten, because God told us by example He does it and He told us to do it. And yet we do it under the always guided by love. Chastisement driven by love will never hurt us. It's really not chastisement if it's not in love, is it? It's chastisement. He loveth everyone that He loveth, He chastens. And He scourges every son, every daughter. And if we be without chastisement, He says we are bastards and not sons. We do not belong to Him. So, if you've ever gotten a good whipping from the Lord, you ever gotten one? That's good evidence you belong to Him. I heard a man tell me one time, I know you've heard me say this, but I'll share it because it's on my mind. He said, oh, if I could just preach a sermon, that would tell me that I'm His, and I long to know that I'm His. He said, if I could just one time preach to God's people, he said, what a blessing that might be for a preacher, that you might be able to preach to God's people. And if you ever did that one time, that would give you some assurance that you belong to Him. I'll tell you a greater assurance than that every one of us had felt. That's any time He's taken you to the woodshed and He's corrected you. You didn't just get caught. You know He you, and He worked on you. It wasn't about you getting found out. It wasn't about you trying to hide it and getting caught. It was about Him coming to you and saying, listen, you belong to Me, but you're acting like somebody else. You are acting in a way that I'm displeased with. And your sleep is not going to be good tonight. There's going to be some things that are occurring here in your life. Listen, the Lord had a way of taking on a persecuting Saul and bringing him down to be a preaching Paul. I'm telling you, when the Lord got finished with him, He was saying, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? That's how God works with you. And if you're walking in this world, young or old, in rebellion against Him, you'll never have a measure of peace or rest or joy. You might have a little taste of sin for a season where you think, oh boy, the world is, everything's working out. The old devil is a liar and a cheat. And if he can rob you, he will. But I'm telling you, the God of heaven won't ever let loose of you. And as long as you're pulling away, you're going to keep banging your head. And He's going to continue to chase you. And He won't let go. He doesn't let loose of His. No, there's those who don't care about Him, don't worry about Him, don't love Him. They're not His. They do not belong to Him. And they will go out of this world cursing and spitting at the Lord. And there'll be those who mock Him and ridicule Him. And you ever wonder, we sing that hymn, how they seem to get along so good in this world. Listen, don't be envious of the wicked. You be thankful you get chastened. You ever say, well, I can't get by with that. Be thankful you can't get by with it. Because if you could get by with it, there wouldn't be much evidence you belong to Him. I can't get by with it, can you? Sometimes, I don't really want to, but the old nature sometimes wants to. You know, I just want to be able to tell that person off and feel okay about it. The old oots in me wants to do that. I can tell them off just as good as anybody. Just Follow me around a little while. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. But I'm telling you, I weep because of sin. I mourn because of that. I want to be free of that. I want to be free of so many things that plague me and trouble me. And I know as long as I'm in this world, I have that battle. Good news. You got armor to wear. You got the captain of the Lord's host who goes in front of you. You got one who will clothe you up, fit you up, clean you up, make you fit for service. He's given you everything that you need. He said, put on the whole armor of the Lord Jesus Christ, which and be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And when you do that, you're fit for service. And if you try to go in anything else, well, that's old self. You know, a whole lot of times, even in religion, you'll give too much self in it. You ever had that? You ever seen two brethren get in a good fuss over some biblical text and it was so little love in it that it was just two old fleshly heads popping together? And I'll tell you what the benefit there is in that. Absolutely none. None. But when brethren come together in the Lord and in the love of God, and they talk from the Word of God, not wanting it my way or their way, but God's way, then there's peace and there's rest and there's joy, because His way is the path of peace and rest and joy and makes life worth living. Matter of fact, it makes it better than worth living. It's life abundant. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's shouting time, happy, you know, in the Lord. Every problem you ever had still there. All the sickness still there. All the money problems still there. All the concerns you got everywhere still there. Not every question is answered, but I'm telling you, you're able to say, I've got peace in my heart because I'm one of His dear children. And God will take care of me. And has He not done that for us? He said, be ye followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Oh my, walk in love. Brethren, if you don't have love, you can't walk in it. But if you have the love of God in you, you walk in that love. And we need to keep our love in order. The Bible teaches us that we're to love God first. Love Him with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. We're to love Him. That's the first and greatest commandments. All of these. And in the second commandment is to love our neighbors as ourselves. And all of these wrap up the whole law and the prophets. All are wrapped up in those two commandments. Matthew 20 tells us about that. It tells us to love God. We got to love God first. Our love for God ought to be greatest in comparison to our love for our children. And our love for our families, and our love for our husbands and wives, and our love for our natural brethren in the church, and our spiritual brethren, it is comparatively spoken of as hate in the Scripture. Matthew clears it up and lets us know it's not talking about hate in the sense of hating them. You don't have to hate your mother and your father in the sense of we want to rightly divide that text. But comparatively speaking, our love for God should supersede and be above every other love. And if you're trying to love someone else more than the Lord's because you feel like I'm going to neglect them if I don't do that, you are neglecting them. And I am too. You see, I got to love the Lord first. Because the Lord is the source of my love. And if I try to love somebody else more than the Lord, what's going to happen is I'm not going to be able to love them nearly like I ought to love them. You want to see a husband and a wife truly love one another? They get their support and supply of love from the Lord. You see, the Lord has to be the foundation of that, doesn't He? The Lord has to be the one who supplies that love. The Lord teaches you how to love. The Lord shows His love. He says, walk in love as how did Christ love? As Christ also have loved us. That means in the same manner. Not in the sense that we can love as much as Christ loved us. We can't love one another like Christ loved us. But as much as we can, we ought to. We ought to follow that. We ought to follow that pattern. Now, how did Christ love us? Did Christ love us because we were so good? Did Christ love us because we were His friends? Did Christ love us because we were following Him? Did Christ love us? Was Christ's love shown to us because we came to church? Or because we sang the hymns? Or because we walked in the waters of baptism? Or did we do anything? No, the Bible says when we were yet His enemies, He loved us. And what great love there is. And no greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friends. But I'm telling you, the love of God was such that He laid down His life for His enemies who were His friends. Not because they were friends, but because they were his friends. He loved them. Whew. And that tells us how we're to love one another. Now, I think for a moment. You think for a moment. See, I can't make the Holy Spirit open your eyes or your heart or your understanding, but I kind of feel he already has. You know, the preacher, there's communication when you're speaking to God's little children. They communicate back to you. Sometimes they communicate things that I'm getting it and I understand. Sometimes they communicate things like I'm not understanding, I'm not getting it. Sometimes they communicate things like I wish you'd hush, I wish you'd get quiet. Sometimes they're communicating that, yeah, I'm here, but I'm not here. They communicate a lot of things. But as I look around the congregation, I can see, though I can't see the Holy Spirit, I can see the evidence. Just like you can't see the wind blowing, you can see the evidence of the wind. And you can see that those things that you feel, those in the congregation feel also. And I think about what he's forgiven me for. I just want to stop this morning and think for a moment what he's forgiven me for. I want to think of all the things I've done wrong. Not that I may dwell on that, but I need to know that. I need to understand how much of the depth of sin I was in. One of the reasons that you and I don't love the Lord as much as we ought to is because sometimes we get an idea that we're a little better than we actually are. The Bible lays it out very clearly and plainly, doesn't it? He says there's none good, no, not one. There's nothing good about your mind. There's nothing good about your heart. Somebody said, he's a good old boy. He's got a good heart. Let me tell you, if he was a heart he was born with. The Bible says it's deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? That's his heart. Some people say, well, if you just give that heart to God, it'll be okay. Listen, what would God do with such a heart? Until God changes a heart, and blessed are the what? The pure in heart. You know how they get to be pure in heart? Because they're blessed. Notice, you don't get a pure heart and get blessed. You get a pure heart because you are blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And until God works on your heart, and you get a heart transplant, like the old preachers used to say, he goes in there and he does the heart transplant, and he doesn't leave a scar. Don't see any evidence on that. And he changes that, takes away that hard and stony heart, and gives you a heart of flesh, a heart that's touched and tendered by the things of God. And then blessed is that heart. I'm telling you, he did that because he loved you. And all that I've done wrong. Before the Lord ever dealt with me, I did a lot wrong. I remember as a young boy, I wasn't good. I was a professional liar. I mean, I did my homework every night. Had it done. It's done. Oh, it's done. I remember one of those times Daddy said, that's not what your Latin teacher just told me. I went like, caught. Listen, I didn't have any conscience for a while in my life. I didn't have any conscience about covering it up. I'd tell you a lie and cover it up, just hope it didn't get caught. And if I didn't get caught, I was happy. But then there came a time where that troubled me. Listen, I could still do it. I could still do it. I had all the skills. All the old nature was still there. I could still do it, but it troubled me. It troubles me today. It troubles me this very moment when there are things that I say and things that I do that did not come from the truth. They come from something else, and that troubles me. Does it trouble you? Does that trouble you? Oh, it ought to. Because I'm telling you, that's what drove the nails in his hands and in his feet. That's what caused him to hang on a cross. That's what caused the blood to flow from the hinder seat to the former seat. That's why he was crucified, because he loved you. When he looked down and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It wasn't just those who nailed him there he had in mind, but us. He had you and me. I'm telling you, when I think about that kind of love, oh, it shows me how I'm supposed to love. Everything looks different. He says you walk in love. How? As Christ also had loved us. That's how he loved you, brother. He loved you enough that he came for you. And had given himself for us. Notice this word us. He didn't come just to get somebody. He came for his people, and he came in particular for them. And he had given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice. Notice he didn't offer himself to the people. He offered himself to God. Some people said he's offering himself. No, he offered himself once. And that offering is to God. And that offering was satisfied. That payment was made. It was as a sweet-smelling savor. Just think about the love of God that had to be there in order to watch his son die on a cross to appease his very wrath and the payment that was made. Not only, as we've heard the brethren pray and said over and over, not only for the pain and the agony of a crucifixion, but there for the weight and the burden of our sins that would have been a payment in hell forever and ever. Somebody said, God is unjust to do that. Listen, we don't understand how grievous sin is in the sight and in the nostrils of an altogether holy and righteous God. It's because we mix in with it all the time. Doesn't seem so bad to us, does it? See, what the Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to see sin as the Lord sees sin. I want you to understand what you ought not to do and ought not to be and how you ought to act, because this is how God sees sin, and you as God's little children ought to be walking as much as you can free of that. Somebody said, if I believe what you believe in the doctrines of grace and salvation by grace, then I just go live in the world and do whatever because God's paid for it. Listen, if God's really worked in your heart, you don't want to go do everything. There's a change in your want to. You want to live better and act better and talk better and behave better in order to give God the glory and the honor and the praise. Not to become his child, but because as his child, you owe him better. Just like I don't want to do anything to bring shame or reproach on my family's name. I surely don't want to bring any shame or reproach on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and whom I hope and pray I belong in his family. He says, he gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Then he goes on and he says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. That means God's church ought to look different than the world. That means this is a household of faith. It means this is where we ought to act and behave the very best we can towards one another. It isn't where we openly accept everything. What God says is true, and let everything else be a lie. We want to follow the truth as it is in Christ, not as Pharisees, not as hypocrites, not as those who feel like the sin hasn't touched us, but we ought to come forgiving one another and yet striving the very best we can to do as the little woman was told, who was forgiven in the very act of adultery. Notice he forgave her. He said, woman, where are thine accusers? And she said, no man, Lord. He says, neither do I condemn thee. But he didn't say, go do what you want. He said, go and sin no more. That means I ought to, despite what I've done yesterday, I ought to try to do better today. Despite what I did this morning. Despite what I did 10 seconds ago. Despite what I did in the past, I want to live better and walk better and act better. And though I will fall at times and fail, no doubt, I have an advocate and a friend in Jesus who will not only forgive me, but that's not an act. See, I don't want us just to see forgiveness. Sometimes we get the idea, well, he'll forgive me, so I got an act. Listen, he'll forgive you. He has forgiven you. It's already forgiven. But I'm telling you, there are chastisements and timely judgments that come on God's people and consequence for sin that we commit in our life. There's timely judgments. He says, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, this doesn't mean we have to sit at church and be so stone-faced and never smile. And you know, like when I heard an old preacher one time said, God's children are preserved, and the way they look, sometimes it looks like they were preserved in pickle juice. Like they're just a bunch of sour-looking faces. Listen, God's people ought to be the happiest people. We ought to be the most loving people. We ought to be the most joyous people. It doesn't mean we don't weep, but I mean we ought to be looking down all the time, weeping, moaning, groaning. We ought not be complaining. We ought to be happy and thankful for all that the Lord has done for us. Listen, there's a heaven awaiting each and every one of us by the grace and the mercy of God. And there's a God who said, I'll be with you in every storm and every trial and any trouble. Do you believe that? If you believe that, why are you so sad? two that walked on the road to Emmaus, they were walking along saying, oh, we thought he had been the one that was going to our deliverer, our salvation. Listen, he was there with them as they went along. And he said, why are you walking, talking so sad? Why are you so sad? They got the heartburn before that day was over. He laid out to them all that he had done. And they said, did not our heart burn as he talked with us and opened the scripture along the way? I'll tell you what will make you happy. You get down, you get that good dose of the gospel, it'll make you happy. You hear about Jesus dying on the cross, it'll make you happy. You hear about a one who can stop the mouths of lions, you say, okay, I'm all right. You hear about one who can take care of Hebrew children in a fiery furnace, you say, I'm okay. You hear about those who took care of the apostles, and you hear and think about it in your life. Listen, my life and your life are filled with the evidences of God's power and His grace every single day. Take the blinders off. Wake up. That's what I might not get to that part. Let me read it. He says, awake, thou that sleepest. Y'all not dead, but you sleep sometimes. And I say, let me put this better. We're not dead, but we're asleep sometimes. Doesn't that sound better when a preacher says it? Because it's not just you, it's me. I want to wake up. I want to remember how good He's been and what He's done for me. He says, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I'm telling you, you cannot have fellowship with Him and walk openly in these things in this world. You'll not have peace and joy and rest. And eternally, that will separate us from God if it were not for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, any sin, if we've committed one, James says this, if you're guilty of one, you're as guilty as if you're guilty of it all. So before we start thinking this means I've got to walk perfectly in order to be His child or keep being His child, I'm telling you, dear ones, if that would be the case, there would be no hope for any of us. My hope is built on nothing less. You sing it, don't you? Than what? Than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. And I don't want to trust in anything else. Because all of that is nothing but sinking sand. I'd rather stand on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for me than everything that I may have ever done in His name or tried to do. Because I'll tell you everything about what Gary's done and you've done and every one of us. Sin is mixed in all that we do. And all that we do. The only thing that's sin free is that which He worked in us that we're by His grace allowed to work out. And that's that pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I know. Time's gone. Let no man deceive you with vain words. I'm telling you, we're living in a world today that is trying to deceive us with vain words. They're saying, you know, it doesn't really matter how you live. Even the religious world would say it doesn't really matter how you live. You can, you know, as long as you believe, everything's okay. Just do anything. Live any way, do anything. Everything's okay. Listen, what's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. And God's word's clear. It's well-defined, laid out. We're to study it. We're not trying to convince God differently. We're to listen to what God says. Let God be true and every man a liar. Hold on to it in the way of love as He has taught us and forgiveness. Love God's little children that are sometimes involved in the depths of sin, but hate the sin. Oh, we ought to be those who hate sin. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And I'll just close with this seventh verse, though I don't want to stop. I will stop. It says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Brethren, this isn't how you get to be a child of God, but it is as a child of God how you ought to live as a dear child. You belong to Him. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. If you've gotten anything out of it, give the Lord the praise. And just continue to look over me with a mantle of charity and forgiveness. We love you. God bless you. Keep me in your prayers.
I love you, my brother.